dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. And in that battle space, we currently find ourselves at the cusp of what may be hostilities. Shall we say, a cruise missile strike at a minimum, perhaps much more, over Syria, and the alleged use by the Bashar Assad regime of chemical weapons. One of the people who has written, along with 73 of his esteemed colleagues, a letter to the president urging him to retaliate for this action and otherwise to help, as they put it, provide, quote, military support to identify and strike regime units armed with chemical weapons, that is to say, to help moderate elements of Syria's armed opposition with the military support required to identify and strike regime units armed with chemical weapons, unquote, is our first guest. He is the Honorable Seth Cropsey, formerly a Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy, currently with the Hudson Institute, and the author most recently of a terrific new book entitled Mayday, an appropriate topic and title for a book about what's happening to the United States Navy at the moment. Seth Cropsey, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank.
We have, as I say, a considerable interest in this letter of yours and the thought behind it. Give us just very quickly your sense of where we are on this Syria business and why you and this esteemed group think it's necessary for us to now strike Bashar Assad and perhaps more.
No, it's not clear where we are. The administration is loath to use force, and the British have introduced a resolution in the UN, which isn't going to go anywhere, and we're sort of wrapped up in details about the UN delegation on the ground there, and the administration, and the question of whether the administration is going to go to Congress, and all this kind of stuff. So I think it's the wire has gone around the axle here, and who knows when it will get unwired. But it seems as though the administration believes that the red line that it spoke of against the use of chemical weapons as weapons of mass destruction, the administration believes that's been crossed. I think they're right. I think it has been crossed. And I think it's important to punish the Syrian government and military in a clear way that tells others who might be thinking about this, or Syria, which might be thinking about doing this again, that there is a consequence for doing so.
I would like to visit with you at greater length about how exactly this plays out as you see it. But let me spend a moment at least, Seth Cropsey, given your expertise with the Navy and your concerns about, as you put it in a recent Weekly Standard piece, Hagel's Navy, a declining, if not wasting, asset, it would seem, under this administration. But I do want to get your sense of how this naval strike, it would appear, is likely to be mounted. And with what effect?
Well, the Navy has four ballistic missile defense destroyers in the area within range. That's pretty much the entire combat standing strength of the Mediterranean fleet, which not that long ago had two carrier battle groups. So we've come down many, many notches, and the administration's options for using force in Syria or anywhere in the region are severely reduced from what they had been in the past. And there's no sign that's going to change. And that doesn't only apply, the lack of force there, naval force there, doesn't only apply to the current situation. It applied last September, with the attack again that killed four of our people on the ground in Libya. If we'd had a marine force or even a naval force with SEALs, for example, on ships that were almost anywhere in the Mediterranean, it would have been able to respond quickly enough to have influence, and they certainly would have been a deterrent against what happened.
Yeah, this is kind of the focus of my energy at the moment. Seth Cropsey, former Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy, and author of a wonderful new book, Mayday. And that is that we're in this fix, it seems to me, at least in part, because of a perception, not just in Syria, but in, among its sponsors and patrons, that the United States is a declining power and that it's really something that can be undertaken with very little fear of any appreciable cost. To flout what the President of the United States declares in the way of red lines or otherwise. Talk a little bit about how this is likely to become even more of a problem if we wind up doing what Chuck Hagel and the President evidently have in mind of reducing the carrier battle group inventory from 11 presently to 9 or perhaps even 8. Seth, what does that mean as a practical matter in terms of presence in places like the Mediterranean, which you've just described, but also, for that matter, the Far East, to which we're supposed to be pivoting, even as this thing is getting hot in Syria?
Yeah, well, yeah, it sort of reminds me of the Lenin's remark, which transferred here goes something like this. We may not be interested in the Middle East, but the Middle East remains interested in us. The simple answer is the straightforward answer. You can rip right out of today's news. The Russians are sending two fairly large rocket cruisers into the region. They have they're armed with anti-ship missiles. They're much bigger than destroyers. And Moscow has also said that a large anti-submarine ship from the Northern Fleet is going to join the Russian naval forces that are already in the region. So that's sort of like a chess game where the two players start to jockey over a single square. And the lack of a carrier battle group is very important in that. It's extremely important. Those rocket cruisers could be very useful against our destroyers. They would be less useful if there was a carrier supporting them. If we go down to 8 carriers, that means more or less really that we have two plus some fraction carriers that are available to be kept on permanent station throughout the world. That's a huge drawdown from the strength of the Navy in the past.
And what this really translates into, of course, Seth, as you so well understand, is a vacuum of power. And it will be filled by someone. Geopolitics, like nature, abhors such vacuums. To the extent that we're witnessing not only an assertion by the Russians, as you've described, but also particularly out in the Far East by the Chinese, isn't this a formula for heightened danger to America, its interests, and certainly its allies?
Yeah, I'd go one further than that, Frank. I would say it's a formula for the eventual disappearance of the United States as a great power. Our great power status, because of our location surrounded by oceans, depends on naval dominance. It's not the only thing it depends on, but it does depend upon naval dominance. And history shows repeatedly what happens when a state whose great power status depends upon naval supremacy gives up that supremacy.
It ain't pretty is the short form of it. Seth, we have to let you go with that. I hope we can get you on again soon. Your book, Mayday, The Decline of American Naval Supremacy, is truly required reading at a moment like this. I hope, especially if the president heeds the counsel that you and 73 of your colleagues organized under the Foreign Policy Initiative have provided, that it will be part of a larger effort to rebuild America's Navy and indeed end the hollowing out of our military more generally. Seth Cropsey of the Hudson Institute, thank you so much for joining us. Come back to us again very soon if you would. Next up, Michael O'Hanlon joins us with perhaps a different, perhaps a similar perspective from the Brookings Institution right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.